On, right?
Yeah.
So how's everyone doing? But honestly, how are we doing? I guess, is everyone tired? Did this week wear you out? A little bit? I don't know about you, but it wore me out a lot. But it is great. So I hope everyone had a great Christmas. I hope that everyone just got some quality time. Kids being on break, must love that. So, no, I think they should bring breaks back for adults too. I think we should get like Christmas vacation, like here and stuff, because they're all sitting at home and chilling, sleeping in, and it's like, I gotta go to work. But I can't complain either, because I have probably one of the greatest jobs in the world, so I can't. But here we are, right? So this week, you know, the lights are still up. Things are still going on. There's still this lingering warmth of Christmas, right? But over the last 4 weeks, we've walked through Advent together. You know, hope, peace, joy, and love. And we remember the long waiting of God's people and their faithfulness of God to keep every promise. And then on Christmas Eve, we celebrated the light of Christ stepping into our weary world. And now this week we're in is this, we stand in between seasons, kind of. At least it feels like it for me. So Christmas is technically behind us, right? And a new year is in front of us. So this week is happening. So Advent helped us look back at what God has done. But as we transition back into the book of Acts, which is the series we've been in, Unashamed, it'll help us look ahead to what God is calling us to do. So this is going to be a transition week. So we're not fully back in the book of Acts. We're no longer in Advent. We're going to talk about them both. Just a little bit, okay? So Christmas shows us the Savior who came near, who came into our lives. And Acts shows us the Spirit who sends us out. The light has come. We talked about it on Wednesday when our Christmas Eve service, we lit the Christ candle, that the light has come into a weary world. And Acts shows us the Spirit that shines now through his people. So the question for today that I would like us to think about is, what does it look like to live unashamed after Christmas? Now, when we have those presents are now open, the wrapping paper is thrown away, you know, my wife already talked to me about taking down the Christmas tree and things like that, just because we have other things going on. And normally, January-ish, almost February, and it's like, we should probably take that tree down. But we just don't. But this year, it's kind of, you know. But it's just this toss between, what do we keep up? What do we still have? Are we still celebrating? Do we still sing Christmas songs? Some people like it. Some people are like, I'm one of those people, I'm going to admit it. Day after Christmas, I can't watch a Christmas movie. I can't sing a Christmas song. I will be holly jolly Christmas until Christmas Day. Once we're done with that, I'm like, done. Till next year. But I love Christmas. I'm not saying I don't love it. I'm just done. I don't know. But that question today is, how do we live? What does it look like to live unashamed after Christmas? So, the light entered the world. So in John, if we open up John, you don't have to. We're going to be bouncing around. So you can if you want. I would love to see people with their Bibles. But in the Gospel of John, it pulls us in a way to the right to the heart of who Jesus is. So there's no manger scene. There's no shepherds. There's no angels filling the night sky. But just a clear and powerful statement about the eternal Christ stepping into our weary world. I almost had it. I almost got through it. John 1:1-5 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So this tells us something important, right? That Jesus didn't wait for the world to be ready. Have you ever heard that statement? You know, if you wait to be ready, you'll never do it. Right? Jesus didn't wait for the world to be ready. He came because the world needed saving. And in verse 14, it brings right to us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He came to us. And that's Christmas. Jesus came to us. God came close. God stepped into a tired, burdened world and entered real places, real lives, real hearts were transformed. And that's where this story connects us back to the book of Acts. So that same Jesus who came at Christmas in a manger, lived his life, is also the one who empowers his church in Acts through his Spirit. So Christmas reveals his presence. He came to us. But Acts reveals his power within us. So in a way, you can say that Christmas announces the light, but Acts shows us that the light continues through God's people. But before we step into Acts 3 next week, because we've had a whole month out of the book of Acts, right? So I want to help us remember what's already taken place. Where have we already been in Acts 1 and 2? Because Acts 1 and 2 lays the foundation of the rest of the book. So in Acts 1, Jesus gave direction. It places the disciples in a moment where Jesus has finished his earthly ministry, but he isn't finished working. He tells them to wait for the Holy Spirit and then gives them a mission that would reshape their lives. It says in Acts 1:8, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness. So Jesus is saying, you are going to tell this story. You are going to show the world what I've done, but you're not going to do it alone. You're going to do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. So while Christmas showed us the Savior, Easter shows us the victory, right? But Pentecost brings the power to live it out. And that's what we step back into. And then in Acts 2, the church came alive, right? The Holy Spirit filled believers, and then everything shifted. The fear that once held people back, because boldness now takes its place. Remember, even Peter, who denied Jesus, now stands up and speaks the truth of the gospel to thousands. And in Acts 2:41, it tells us that 3,000 people responded to that message and were saved. So the church was born. The gospel is spread, being spread, and the light that entered the world at Christmas is now entering human hearts through the Spirit. So Advent prepared us for the coming Christ, the coming of Christ, but Acts prepares us for the calling of Christ. That makes sense? Say it again. Advent prepares us for the coming of Christ. Acts prepares us for the calling of Christ. But before we talk about what Jesus calls us to do and get into the, like, thinking about the book of Acts, we have to remember what Jesus has already done. So we celebrated Jesus' birth a few days ago. So we're quickly fast-forwarding, but we are not just tired or distracted people in need of direction. We're separated from God by sin and unable to rescue ourselves, and that is why Jesus came. Jesus came to rescue a weary world, and the weary world rejoiced because of it. He lived a life that we couldn't live. He died the death that we deserved, and rose again to give us new life for those who believe. And Christmas tells us that God acted first to save us. Not to just give us a list, not to tell us, okay, go and do this. No, he came to save us. And in the book of Acts, it doesn't show us how to earn God's favor. It teaches us and shows us what life looks like when grace has already changed us and transforms our heart. So when we look back at Christmas, we see more than a moment. We see the beginning of what God is still working through, is still working in us, is still working on. It's Jesus coming into a world to invite people into a new holy life, a new way of living, a new way of thinking. And Jesus invites us into that. And Advent, every year when we go through this, what it hopefully should do for us is those 4 weeks of Advent should help us slow down and just remember his arrival, his heart, his faithfulness, his joy, his love. And then we come to this week where we're now in this bridge between seasons, because, I mean, we could have just jumped straight back into Acts, and I could have been like, open your Bibles to Acts 3. Let's start today. But then it kind of just feels like, it feels like a cutoff, and it just starts. So this is this bridge, because I want us to remember Christmas reminding us that God stepped into our world, and Acts is showing us that now through God and what he has done for us through Jesus Christ, that we are ready to work in our lives with him and through him. And it also, this week also comes at a moment that everyone here, whether you think it or not, some think it more, some are less, but every year in front of us, we think about this deciding of what we want to change. What are we going to do this next year? How do we want to change our life? Maybe it's work. How are we looking forward? Some people call it the New Year's resolution, right? I've already talked with a few people. I don't see my son out here, but where is he? Dun, dun, dun. He's okay. But I've already talked with him, and we were joking around because I go to the gym around lunchtime. I found out the best time to go to the gym is when nobody else is there. I love it. My son goes to the gym after school, and we were talking because next week starts all the people in the gym that have not been in the gym in a year taking up all the machines. Got to have patience and grace. But it happens, right? Every year we get this excitement. We're like, what are we going to do? This year I'm going to do this. This year I'm going to grow my business. This year I'm going to get closer to God. This year I'm going to get stronger. This year I'm going to lose that weight. Whatever it is, we have this transition that we want to change. And what do we leave behind? How do we want to be different? And that New Year's resolution. But for God, for the people of God, it's deeper than a resolution. It's an opportunity for us to grow closer to the Lord. It's an opportunity for us to say, this year, I'm going to grow deeper in my relationship with Christ than ever before. This year, I'm going to learn more about who I am through Christ. This year, I'm going to learn more about my spiritual gifting, and I'm going to step into that role. And that's why today matters, because we carry on what God stirred in us through Advent and how that works into his mission that he's already placed before us. So we're moving from the reflection of Christ to the participation with Christ and remembering what Jesus has done and stepping into what Jesus is calling us to do. So next Sunday, as we step into Acts chapter 3, the chapter is going to open up with a story many of us might have learned growing up, maybe not, but it still carries this message. So a little precursor to next week, that Peter and John are on their way to the temple. They're just carrying on normal life now, right? The Pentecost happened. They were people were saved. The Spirit was filled in people. This moment happened. And now Peter and John are just simply carrying on about their life. Kind of feels like that time after Christmas. It just, this moment happens, Christmas happens, papers flying everywhere, people are excited, and now we're just carrying on about our life. And that's what we're stepping back into. So on the way to the temple, they are just going to pray. They're simply going to the temple to pray. And on the way, they see a man who is unable to speak or unable to walk since birth. And he reaches out to them, hoping for money, hoping for something from them. But instead, Peter offers something way better. Because in Acts 3, verse 6, it says, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." And then he speaks the name of Jesus Christ. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And the man stands up. Depending on the version you read, scripture says he jumped, he praised God. People notice, a crowd gathers, and that's what we get to step into next week. And Acts 3 reminds us that God often does his greatest work through ordinary people walking simply through their day. So Peter and John were not preaching at the moment. It wasn't a moment that they are proclaiming the gospel and standing up and doing all the things like Peter was last week or the day before or however long it was. But Peter and John weren't preaching at the moment. They were simply just carrying on about their day. They weren't leading a service. They were heading to pray, and they became available. And God used them. So because of their availability, God used them. So you see, unashamed faith isn't about being loud or dramatic. It's about being willing and available. It's about trusting that God can work through you at any moment, even in the interruptions, and just being willing and available to be used by God. So how do we live unashamed after Christmas? How do we move from the wonder and awe of Christ's birth into the witness of Acts? How do we move back into that moment? So let's think of three ways that we can step confidently into this new year and back into our series in Acts. So one, remember who came for you. Remember who came for you. Jesus entered a weary and broken world, and he came when we needed him the most. Romans 5:8 reminds us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So his love moved first. He entered the world. He came first. And because he came for us, we can follow him without hesitation. We are not stepping out going, do I go left? Do I go right? What do I do? How does this work? We simply need to follow. Put it in perspective. How easy is it when, let's say you're going somewhere, you get in the car and your friend is driving, and then you have another car, and they're like, "Hey, we're going to go over to this restaurant. Follow me." At that moment, it becomes easy. I don't know where the restaurant is. I don't know what restaurant the restaurant's called. I don't know where the roads to get there, do I? I just simply need to follow my friend and have the faith that my friend knows where they're going. That's our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We just need to follow him. We don't need to know, when we leave the church parking lot, do we turn left or right? Doesn't matter. Follow me. Okay, but when we get on the freeway, are we getting in the fast lane, staying in the slow lane? Are we getting a little bit over the speed limit? Are we staying under the speed limit? Doesn't matter. Follow me. How long are we driving? What if we need gas? What if I need to do this? What if I need to go to the bathroom? Doesn't matter. Follow me. We simply just need to follow Christ. So remember who came for you, because he came for us, and we follow without hesitation. And then two, remember who lives within you. So the same Holy Spirit who filled the first believers is the same Spirit who fills those who believe now. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." When we step into Acts and we enter this new year, it's not of our own strength, but God's Spirit guiding and empowering us through his strength. And for this new year, we're walking into remembering who you represent. Number three, remember who you represent. Wherever you go, you carry Christ with you. Wherever you go, you represent the Lord. It's not to add pressure, but it's a way to give your life purpose. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." So show up with grace, show up with patience, with compassion, and let his light shine through you in this new year. Remember, simply remember who you represent. So we remember who came for us is Jesus Christ. We remember who lives within you is Jesus Christ. And we remember who we represent. It's Jesus Christ. And so we walk unashamed because God is faithful. Not because we have everything, not because we figured it out. We walk unashamed because the world needs Jesus. And we have the privilege of pointing people to a Savior. So here, if you haven't thought of a New Year's resolution, I don't give much thought to them. I just carry on about my day. Another day for me. But here is a challenge for the new year. If you want to call it a resolution, if you want to do this, and name it that. But I want to challenge all of us this year. As we step back into Acts next week, as we get into chapter 3, I want to invite us to have a simple prayer that can shape our entire year. And it's four words. Lord, make me available. Make me available. Make that your resolution this year. Lord, make me available. Available to your voice, available to your leading, available to your wisdom, available to your calling, available to your mission. Make me available. So the opportunities that God gives us are rarely showing up in convenient moments. And they often show up when we don't plan to do it. They often arrive when people don't plan to be, where people don't plan to be, where people didn't expect to meet. And Peter and John were just walking to the temple to pray. And God turned that walk into a miracle because they were simply carrying on. So the light that we see that came at us at Christmas is meant to shine through us. And the weary world we live in still needs hope. They still need a Savior. Still needs truth. The world still needs Jesus. And God has chosen his church to shine a light, to be the representation through us. So let's make this next year the best year at Antioch Wesleyan Church. Let's make this next year the best year in your walk with the Lord. Let's make this next year the best year that you've ever seen in the church. And let's pray not only for our church, let's pray for all churches, pray for all the whole body of Christ. That 2026 would be the year that people find, that people see the light of Christ shining through us, through our life, through our habits. But you first have to be available. The Lord, make me available. As we come out of this season we're in, this Christmas season, wreaths are going to come down. Candles aren't going to be lit. Trees are coming down. Ornaments are coming off the tree. Things are going back to normal. But the light of Christ will shine. The light of Christ is in our heart, and it doesn't get put in a box. It doesn't get put in the attic. It doesn't get put away. It gets carried through us. So I want us to hold on to that Jesus did come for us. He stepped into our world. He stepped into our need. He stepped into our story. And the same Jesus who met us in our place of need is the one who now invites us to follow him into a life that he has already prepared for us. So the book of Acts is going to give us that picture of what the church looks like, what those first Christians look like, what that looks like in their life, how they acted, how they lived. A church that is learning to trust God, that is learning to listen to his leading, and is stepping out with courage one day at a time. And that's what I think and feel that our church and our posture should be, and that God is calling us into today. Not a spectacle, but willingness. Just a heart that is willing to serve him. A heart that says, Lord, when whatever you want to do through me, and through me this year, I'm open and willing. So my prayer is simple this morning, as we walk into this new year, that we would walk forward with confidence in the one who goes before us, in the one that we will follow, that we will confidently walk with the Lord. That we would be steady in our faith, bold in our hope, and ready for the opportunities that God will bring our way if we are open and willing. And the light that we celebrated at Christmas would keep shining through our lives in ways that draw others to the hope of Christ. Can we do that? You guys excited? New year, new you. Isn't that a slogan? New year, new you. Posh, posh. Kidding. But this week, the first is going to come, and we're all going to be sitting there, and January 1st is going to roll around. And the first thing I want us all to say on January 1st, pray about it all week. Let's talk about it all week. Let's think about it all week. But the first thing on January 1st, let's hit the ground running and let's say, Lord, make me available. Amen? Make me available. Let's pray.